For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's go to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Jalen the camera. Not taking any accountability.
Well, that's more like Carson. Jalen, I think Jalen takes more accountability than Carson did. Oh, by the way, you know what?
Jalen takes accountability. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you something, Mike. I'm going to play.
He's very accountable.
Mike, I'm going to play a great piece of audio after your call that I found fascinating said yesterday by one of the players about accountability. We're going to get to that in a moment. But give me what you got today, dude.
All right. I actually love what I heard out of Vic Fangio. So me, I'm an old school guy. And what I hear from him is they're pretty excited about Bryce. I think that they see that this kid's got incredible potential. I think they're actually downplaying it. I love when you're an old school guy and you throw a challenge out there. Like
that's
like,
what I think it is.
Did. Yeah, I'm with you, Richie. I think it's like, no. We think this kid is going to be a rock star, and we're just going to keep pushing him. So I don't look at that at all as they're being nervous about his talent and about what he can do. I think this kid, they think that this kid is going to be, we're going to forget Reddick in one season. We're going to forget Reddick in half a season. So that's how I heard Fangio.
Okay.
Well, that's certainly hopeful. I also viewed it as a challenge from an old school guy. I didn't think it was as heavy or negative. I didn't view this as a negative in any way.
No, and like I didn't hear it all. You know, oh, he's a good kid. He tries. Like I didn't hear all this like stupid fluffy stuff. It was like, no, we're going to challenge him. We see things in him that maybe he doesn't see yet.
Well, clearly, Mike, I'll say this. Clearly, in the limited ways we've heard Vic Fangio, you know, for a couple press conferences now, going back to the off season, he clearly is not going to just prop up a player because, you know, that's what most coaches
exactly
these days do. Like, he'll definitely lay guys out more to bear. Now, whether he was really going old school and doing the Bill Parcells, I'm going to call this guy out to push him thing, which is not something any coach around here with the Eagles has done since at least before Andy Reid. I mean, maybe Ray did it. I don't remember. But, I mean,
I don't know about that.
Well, Chip.
I wouldn't put it past a guy like Jim Schwartz.
Well, no, I meant head coach. Jim Schwartz did it. His comment about Bradham that one time, act like a dumbass at some point. What was the comment? If you act like a dumbass at some point, I'm going to think you are a dumbass.
People, yeah, if you keep acting like a dumbass at a certain point, you'll be a dumbass.
But let's acknowledge, in the last, like this century, that's a fairly rare comment from an Eagles coach. Most have followed the lead of the head coach who just, you know.
And it's kind of refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's very refreshing.
I love it.
I do too, Mike. Mike, give me a great answer. With the Olympics going on, other than Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice, the next biggest Olympic thing ever.
The Jamaican bobsled team.
There you go.
Good answer. That's fun.
That's funny. Ain't going to win, but fair enough. Hey, let's get to today's Twitter poll question. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. All right, so the poll question related to the Olympics. Which of these four sports are you most looking forward to watching this Summer Olympics? John, what's your answer here? Is it A, basketball?
No.
B, gymnastics? C,
no, but I love that.
Yep. C, swimming or diving?
I'm really into
swimming,
it.
Swimming
and I was
diving.
A swimmer. Did you know that?
Yeah, you mentioned it before. You played every sport. Yeah.
I did. Every sport except baseball.
Really? Yeah. How do you have time? I mean, there's only three seasons.
I would go to multiple practices a night.
You would?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't play for two teams in the same season, right?
Yeah.
Not for your school, right?
No. As a little kid, you know. Like,
okay, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure, like, we don't have to dock your team
and pull
banners down from the rafters.
Well, no, but I've always wondered that because he's like, I played soccer.
Well,
I played football. I played basketball.
When I was in high school, I did soccer, spring club soccer while I was also doing track.
So instead of baseball.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I got you. Club instead of, I got you.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And indeed, John, track and field, is that your thing?
Track and field is where it's at for me.
James, which is your, this year, because it can vary by year, I mean, the other three are normally pretty similar, but basketball relates to who's on the team that given year. What's your answer this year, James?
Yeah, the Embiid thing makes basketball exciting. For me, it's more of a different type of answer this year because my daughter has been doing gymnastics for the last year and a half or so, and she's, like, so pumped to watch, like, the floor routine, all that stuff. So, for me, this specific year, because of my daughter, it'll be gymnastics.
Now, that's nice. And listen, gymnastics gets the highest rating. I mean, there's a reason why NBC typically puts it on if they can influence the scheduling, you know, from 8 to 11 at night.
I mean, think for the decameraphilon, we should have a rhythmic gymnastics event. Can you imagine,
like,
Joe?
Like the thing with ribbons?
The camera with the ribbons.
Well, that's the only thing I'd have a shot
on the floor with that routine.
Well, it's like Will Ferrell in Old School.
Yes. But at least I could do that. I couldn't do the rings. I couldn't do the bar.
That's what I'm saying. You could do it.
I couldn't do the
flips. We saw Will Ferrell do it. Crazy. You could do it, too. And I think it would be quite the competition.
All right. So Devin White said something yesterday that I loved on a lot of levels. He sounds like a big-time leader. But we also had a caller calling about 5 minutes ago talking about Jalen Hurts and accountability. I want to play this audio. I thought it was really good stuff. Obviously, Devin White played for Tampa last year. Obviously, he was part of that team that kicked the Eagles' butt in the playoffs. So that's referenced here.
Multiple times. He has been on the team who kicked
us. But last year's team is similar to this year's team, and it should not have happened like that. Mm-hmm. Here's Devin White yesterday. This is really good.
You're on the other side. The last game last year with Tampa Bay on the winning side. What did you see from the Eagles at that point? And have you talked to any teammates and said, hey, what happened to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of things going wrong at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? For them, man. And, you know, for us, you know, me being on other team, a lot of things going wrong at the right time, you know. I don't feel like we got the same version that we got in week three. You know, I feel like I don't know what was going on. I really don't care. I don't want to lean on the past. You know, I just want to be a better football team this year and contribute whatever way I can. And, you know, that's what a lot of, you know, talking me, Jalen, and AJ, we got a group message, you know, and I named it accountability. You know, just how can we pull one another up and what do you need from me and obviously vice versa with them just so this can be a better team and those things don't happen. Because at the end of the day, it's a long season. But, I mean, the one thing we've been talking about is one day at a time. You know, how can we be better and just make sure we're pushing everybody and bringing somebody along, not just, you know, getting on to them, but just bringing somebody with you. You know, if you're a great player, you know, show them how to be a great player. And we have more great players on the team.
Hey.
How great is that?
Were we concerned about who was going to pick up the lead on the defensive side of the football?
We just found out.
I think we know our answer now. This guy is, as the mic, you know, accustomed to being in charge to some degree. He's a guy who, in many cases, is going to wear a green dot. But, man, he's taking it by the reins. It's full force. This sounds like this is something that has been discussed. You know, this is part of the process of bringing him here. Devin, we need you to take over. Yeah. We need you to make this defense your own and bring everyone else along.
I agree, John. As long as he's athletically gifted enough still, then you know you have a leader. Like, what I just heard there reminded me of, for instance, like Takeo Spikes when he came here. Now, the problem is Takeo Spikes couldn't play that much anymore, so he wasn't very good anymore. But what I just heard is an adult. I just heard a guy that's a follow-me guy.
I have Kevlar in my arm because of Takeo Spikes.
He was a great player, man.
He
just wasn't great here. But so, and the fact that, because let's not lose sight of what he said. All right, Devin White, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown.
That part
group text message.
He included himself.
Accountability.
Yes.
That's
he
awesome.
He included himself, and he said, what do you need from me? He's talking about the defensive side of the football. I am the de facto leader.
Yeah.
What do you need from me? So that we are where you are as an offensive side of the ball. We as the defense, I am the representative. How are we going to get this thing done this year? I love the way this is packaged. I love the way it sounds.
There was a lot that came out from Eagles camp yesterday. We were there. It was great to be there. I will tell you what we just played to me, while it wasn't the biggest story in headlines, in my opinion, should be the biggest story. We just heard the guy that without saying it, is basically stepping up as the leader of the football team. He didn't say, I'm the leader, but he's the leader of the defense, and he's right there with Jalen and AJ trying to work to bring the whole team together. And the group text thread is called accountability. That, to me, is the biggest headline from yesterday. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. 94.94. Let's talk to Ed. He's calling from Phoenixville. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, team. How's it going?
Great, Ed.
So I read an article in The Athletic, but I think it was Brooks Kabina, who talked about, you know, the conditioning, accountability, Jordan Mailata and Cam Jurgens running wind sprints. And there was a section on Jordan Davis, which I found interesting. And he said something about, well, now I'm in better shape and I'm not as tired. You know, I'm able to bend and, you know, get better leverage. But when I get tired, that's when my technique starts to, like, slack off. And I just think the PR guy needs to kind of get with him and say, hey, man, rather than say that, you should, when I get tired, that's when I really need to dial in my technique and focus. And, you know, I just think.
Sure.
Yeah, ultimately, that's a coaching issue. More than, I get your point, PR, how you present it to the public. But what really matters is how you actually play. And you would think the coaching staff, you know, hearing that, knowing that, would get on them.
Ultimately, I'm positive that this staff, this defensive staff with Vic Fangio sitting at the top of it, is not going to baby this guy the way he got babied the last 2 years. And don't get it wrong. He must have been babied if he's only playing 20 snaps a game. Like, it feels like this guy
Unless they didn't think he had a chance.
I don't think not. Maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
You know,
like, and that's a shame.
You play. Let's be real. Coaches play who they trust.
Yep. I mean, that's. Yeah. You're right. You're right. We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out this year because it's been pointed out exactly what the issue was, and it was conditioning above all else. And he addressed it.
Look,
we'll see if it sticks.
The really good news about Jordan Davis's career so far is for about six games we saw he can do it at a pretty high level. Now, not that high, because if it was that high, he'd play,
no
40,
pun intended.
He'd play 45 snaps.
Hold on. No pun intended. He does it. He did it at a high level.
Well, high,
what
he
did, it really is. Like, he stood there.
Yeah.
He is gigantic.
He's tall.
He did a nice job of being gigantic to stop the run. There were a few times where he would fire out. It looked impressive.
He was moving, though.
Yeah, but it was for such short periods of time.
Point.
It's just not enough.
It's not enough.
We need more, significantly more, like three times more.
Yeah.
Triple what you did production-wise.
I agree, John.
And that's where we need to be to start this season.
I agree. Hey, Ed, give me your point on the Phillies.
So I really tried to beat the drum on Brandon Marsh for all season. I don't know if I can do it anymore if his strikeout rate's this high. I don't think he's fully healthy.
You and me both.
That's really kind of concerning to me because I really thought he would. I mean, maybe he still can. I just don't think he's fully. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're not fully healthy, it could probably, like, you know, take away from your concentration, especially against lefties. Which
you
is
know, Ed, I've heard that shoulder is worse than they're letting on. So
it must.
In a certain way, that's kind of a good thing.
The alligator arm that he pulled off was one of the worst I've ever seen.
It was bad.
It's got to be because he felt like he was going to hit the wall and it's hurt.
So, Ed, hopefully he is kind of banged up and can then become not banged up and then be a better player. I would say his season has been a disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
And when you consider where he was around, and I'm just going to pick a date, like April 20th, when he had been one of the hottest fills for the first 3 weeks.
I was trying to find my City Connect Brandon Marsh jersey for a long time.
Well, even just like 2-3 weeks ago, John, remember you and I were talking about how he's pretty underrated. He was playing really well. And yeah, I agree. Now it's really hard to be a Brandon Marsh play every day defender right now.
Yep. All right, Ed, give me a great answer. Biggest Olympic moment ever is which one?
I can't watch this without sobbing. It's Derek Redmond in the 400-meter semifinal, ripping his hamstring and his dad helping him finish.
That was an amazing
Such
moment.
Such a good answer,
that
man.
That was an amazing, amazing,
like
amazing
one of the
moment.
Great videos I've seen in a long,
I agree.
long time.
All right, up ahead, something notable about Jalen Hurts from yesterday. We'll get to that. More of what Vic Fangio said, plus Shield Kapadia with an Eagles report at 8:25. And something about the Phils you might not know. We'll get to that and more from Borgata today. Wonderful to be with you on this Friday morning on 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With six Nissan models under $30,000 in two locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, you can save up to $4,000.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them? Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nice meeting you too, man. What's your name?
Brian.
Brian? With a Y or an I?
I like it. You know, I got to tell you, I wasn't really excited for this Olympics, but hearing that music and talking about this the way we are today, that kind of pumps me up. I mean, look.
Every time we talk about the Olympics, I get pumped up because I think about my experience in 1984 and 1988 and 1980 when I was just getting to know, like, wow, this is what the Olympics
is. But it's not as cool as it used to be. Covered this a million times. There's a bunch of reasons it's not. I mean,
But I'm excited that this one, it's going to be, you know, the hype is going to be back, the pomp and circumstance, where the last Summer Olympics just kind of felt like a dud because of COVID.
Well, for sure. No fans, but even in 2016, no, I don't think anyone alive from the 80s or before would say in 2016 it felt as big as it did in 84 or 80 or 72 or 76 or 88. I mean, 92 was a big one in Barcelona. So here's another poll question from the past to present to you, and everyone can weigh in. And again, we're primarily talking Eagles and Phils today, but a little Olympic flow as well because it starts today. It starts in a couple hours. We had a poll, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and the question was, are you excited about the upcoming Summer Olympics? 43% of people said no, 36% of people said yes, a little bit, and only 21% of people said very excited. John, I would contend when we were young, very excited would have been at least 80%, at least.
It was
the biggest thing. It was the biggest thing.
Well, when we had three or four channels, that was the channel. True. It was on all day, every day. Yeah. And so you saw everything that was happening, and it really was on.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so anyway, you know, you can weigh in on the Olympics. Shiel Kapadia will weigh in on the Eagles. He was, you know, obviously at Eagles practice yesterday. We'll talk to Shiel in about 5 minutes. What has stood out to him so far with training camp? Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Oh, by the way, Travis Konecny, we haven't covered this yet, but he gets a big 8-year deal yesterday. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, he's a very good player. Is he truly great? No, he's not truly great, but he's very good. Flyers in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years have had a lot of big contracts that haven't worked out. Let's hope this one does. Obviously, they got to get better players around them. We'll see how it goes. But Konecny, a big 8-year deal. All right, to the phones, Mike in Douglasville. Good morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great, Mike.
I know it's, you know, the first week and everything, but I am absolutely loving the messaging that's coming out from this training camp so far.
I agree.
I mean, from the stuff with Devin White and the accountability group chat to Mailata, you know, taking that leadership role that we were all wondering who was going to take control with Kelsey leaving, to Hurst and Nick's messaging, you know, obviously everybody's going to pick apart what they say, but I mean, so far from what they have said, everything seems unified. I'm just loving it, and I hope it sticks. I mean, the leadership thing for me is one of the big ones, especially when it came to the offensive line. So to see Mailata kind of like take that jump and just kind of take control of it, it's really cool.
Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, look, you lose Jason Kelce, you lose Fletcher Cox, you lose a lot. Obviously, Reddick also. So, you know, you need the baton to be passed to other dudes. And what's good is there were quality players here that have been here before that can grab that. And if a guy like Devin White in his first week with the Eagles is ready to rock and roll as a leader, good for him. Because that's not the easiest thing to do, to just walk in, obviously, and establish yourself as the dude from a leadership standpoint. But there certainly was a void with defensive leadership, and good for him if he's the one grabbing it.
Absolutely. And when we're talking offensively, there was obviously, you know, some guys that we could point to just be like, yeah, that's probably going to be the guy to take over. But when we looked at defensively, we're like, okay, well, it's Brandon Graham, and then who else?
Maybe I will say this, Mike. Devin White, who we're all rooting for big time, has to be a good player in order, one, to, you know, be a guy that you can count on, and two, to really be. I mean, Vic Fangio talked, I think it was yesterday, about how it's hard to lead. And, John, you have said this many times through the years. It's hard to lead unless you're playing well. You know, just remember this, Mike, as much as we're pumped up about what Devin White said yesterday, he was not a starter in that playoff game last year. You know, Tampa Bay deemed him not starter worthy. So we'll see what we get here.
Hopefully that motivates him and it kind of opens his eyes to be like, okay, well, what I was doing wasn't enough. Now I need to do more.
I agree.
Well, he's got a new chance for a start where he does everything the right way this time, and hopefully he takes advantage of that.
Mike, give me a big time.
It feels like he is.
Big time answer from the Olympics, a moment or a storyline?
So I won earlier this week, so I'm going to give an answer of a current storyline and something for you guys to keep an eye out for.
Yep.
There's a guy from my high school that's actually in the Olympics this year. Chris Giuliano. He's a swimmer. I think I said his last name right. He's swimming in the 50, the 100, and I think the 200-meter freestyle. But shout out to him. Shout out to his family. Shout out to Daniel Boone High School. And let's go USA.
Good, Mike. I like that. You know, I feel like we haven't heard this year, and I'm sure there are other local athletes that are in the Olympics. I haven't heard any of those stories this year. Then maybe the 3, 6, and 10 and Fox 29 featured them in recent days. I don't know. But normally, you know, there's a handful of people from here. So we'll see as those storylines develop. Coming up soon will be Sheil Kapati. I want to play two pieces of audio before we get to Sheil. The first is more from Devin White because, you know, Vic Fangio obviously is an accomplished defensive coordinator. And Devin White talked yesterday about Vic Fangio's methodology of coaching, not in this case schematically, but from a motivational standpoint, how Vic Fangio goes about his business. Listen to Devin White talking about Fangio.
Vic is known not to mince words. He's pretty direct.
Yeah.
So how does he handle corrections?
He just call you out. You know, call you out one-on-one, call you out in front of the team, you know, tell you that this not good enough or, you know, this piss poor. You know, this say it again. Oh, he call you out by your name. He name, number, whatever the first thing come to his mind when we watching the film. You know, we watch film together after practice in the evening, and he'll let you know, like, you know, yesterday it was me on the downhill run. Jalen Carter got one on a block where he didn't do the right thing, but he also praises people, too, when they doing the technique the right way. You know, he just not a just a drag you through the mud type of coach. You know, he pull you up when you're doing something good because the next person can learn from the good that another person doing. JD had a good practice yesterday. He was bending his legs, and that was one thing Coach Vic, he kept saying, like, when your legs are bending and you in this type of stance, you're going to have a good down. And he was showing that throughout the film. So it's not just all about bad, but he will correct you in front of everybody. And you don't want that. You know, that's not a good feeling, but, you know, you'll take it, you accept it, and you get better from it.
John, I know this is music to your ears, man.
Oh, this is totally awesome. Yeah. And when he's talking about JD there, I'm assuming he's talking about Jordan Davis.
Right.
And this is exactly what he needs to hear. You're not playing if you're not bending.
Yeah.
When you stand up, like he is so gigantic, he has a tendency to unbend. And when that happens, people can get underneath them.
That's right.
The play is lost.
Yeah. So, all right, so we found out there Vic Fangio will both get on a guy's butt if he has to, you know, challenge him, but also praise the dude if he wants to, you know, make sure the guy knows he's doing well. So he'll do that, and he'll do it, you know, hardcore. What we also found out yesterday is something Vic Fangio won't do. This was, I thought, funny and different. And so analytics is a big part of sports. Vic Fangio has been leaning into it for years. But you know how many people know his system? One. You know who that person is? Vic Fangio. None of the other 7 billion people alive knows what, even all of his former assistants and players don't know his system. Listen to this. Vic Fangio's got the secret sauce, and he ain't telling, you know, anybody.
How have you embraced analytics?
I love analytics. No, it hasn't changed at all. I love analytics. Give me anything you want, and I'll sort through it and use it as I see fit, but I've been doing analytics myself, my own way, for years, and I don't share my process with anybody, and even fellow coaches. So I believe in analytics. I think analytics people miss the boat a little bit on what's important, but I'm not going to tell them what's important. I do it myself.
I'm doing that too.
So what's that?
When you say you do the analytics yourself.
I along with what they give me.
So they give you the information, then you process it the way you want to process it. Process it yourself.
No, I have a way of doing. I have a system outside of that I use, and I'll use whatever they give me and decide what's relative and what isn't relevant. Huh?
No one else knows your system. None of your proteges have ever.
No.
mean, that's unbelievable. That is awesome. I mean, listen, it's
He's talking about the numbers that he bends, and he likes to look at certain things.
But it's fascinating,
like certain
coaches,
John. Like certain stats.
He won't even tell his defensive coaches.
Love it.
I mean, look.
It's just what he likes. He's talking about his preference, the way he likes to run it, and his personal twist.
He also thinks it probably helps him keep a job or get another job, because if he's got an advantage. Look, I do stuff here on the show. Now, I've told two or three people in my life, I use analytics for sports radio. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Sports radio analytics. But I don't tell probably more than about three or four people in my life what some of those methodologies are. Seltzer, maybe I told three or four people too many.
I'm one of the people you've told, so I'll keep it to myself.
Exactly. All right, let's go to our next guest. You know, Shil Kapadia does a wonderful job covering the Eagles for the Athletics. By the way, you can also weigh in on the Phils, who, two things you might not know about the Phillies. One, in playing Cleveland tonight and for the next 3 days, the Phillies are playing the team with the second best record in baseball. So this is a big-time series the next couple of days. So Phils in Cleveland could be a World Series preview. The other thing about the Phils you might not know, last 38 games, 19-19. That's not hot shakes. That's not good stuff. So Philly's certainly on the table as well, but a lot on the Eagles today.
Hot shakes. That's the first time you've used that.
Hot shakes. You know, going back to the 50s or something.
Hot
shakes.
Yeah,
what does that even mean? Like, who's drinking a hot shake?
Is that a thing?
But you've heard the term.
Of course.
I don't know.
No, I have. I have.
I don't know that I have.
I don't think I have, honestly.
Hot shakes.
Yeah,
I've heard it. No, I've heard it. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. But probably Mississippi used it in Happy Days.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe it was one of those things.
All right.
Sounds antiquated.
So a lot on the Phils, some on the Olympics, but a lot on the Eagles today. And Shil Kapadia covers the Birds and the entire National Football League for the Athletic. We saw him yesterday at camp, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Shil.
Joe, you got to recheck the analytics, because while I did have a wonderful time working at the Athletic, I now work the Ringer
for
2 years. Joe,
I'm
come
so
on,
sorry.
Joe. The numbers,
come
Joe.
On, Joe.
Come on.
That was a bad
here?
Job there.
Call Vic.
Yeah, a little inside baseball. It actually even says it on his show sheet every day.
My fault. So, Shil, the last time I made that type of mistake was last year when I introduced the now no longer defensive coordinator of the Eagles,
Sean Desai. Oh, that was bad.
And I said, so your first chance being a defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's like, well, you know, I was the Bears coordinator for a year. You know what I wanted to shoot back at him, Shil? I wanted to say, yeah, I guess your ass got fired. But well, I held back because he kind of owned me in that moment. So fair
Let's
enough.
Let's hope that my fate is better than Sean Desai's after your guy.
That's right. All right. So from the Ringer, our guy, Shil Kapadia. So, Shil, you had your eyes all over practice yesterday. What was the main thing that stood out to you?
Yeah, the big thing to me yesterday was Jalen Hurts and how comfortable he looked in that offense. Because I was at the spring practices, and I got to say, I don't want to put too much into spring practices, but I was a little concerned that, you know, this offense does not look like it's clicking nearly on all cylinders. And I thought yesterday Jalen Hurts was in full command with stuff pre-snap, with his accuracy, throwing the ball. And then a big thing that stood out, if there was any, you know, questions about, well, is Kellen Moore still going to use Jalen Hurts as a runner, and what's that going to look like? Jalen Hurts was a huge part of the designed run game yesterday. Now, it's only one practice, but, you know, they're getting their base stuff in there, and so it looks to me like Jalen Hurts' legs are still going to be a big part of this offense.
Shil, how different does it look in terms of shotgun versus under center, motions, you know, things that we were concerned weren't included last year, like pass protection, maybe. How different does it look? How real, how good is this offense going to be?
There was one snap where Jalen Hurts is under center and Devontae Smith goes in motion from right to left. And they hand the football off. I mean, what a concept. It is stuff that we didn't see all of last season. I thought to myself, so then I went home and I looked up the numbers. Eagles were in shotgun or pistol 94% of the time last year. By far the top percentage in the NFL. Eagles used motion at the lowest rate of any team in the NFL last season. So I'm not telling you, you know, they're all of a sudden going to turn into the Kyle Shanahan 49ers where they're doing it 25 times a game, but the key to me is you want answers to the problems that the defense is presenting to you. And we all saw it with our own eyes last season, specifically at the end of the season, they did not have answers. And so it
Why was it so simple, Shield, last year? Why did they not include things in the offense, incorporate things that every other offense includes that helps with these problems?
I mean, I think you have to look at coaching first and foremost. I think they come off the Super Bowl season and they said, what we're doing is working, and let's just keep doing more of that and perfect that. And they didn't have the other stuff in their playbook. And then all of a sudden you get in the middle of the season and it's week 12. And in practice, are you going to have time to implement these other things? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I talked to you guys every week last season, and we were all confused by it, didn't know how we were watching what we were watching. But I guess the good news is that it looks like Kellen Moore is at least modernizing this offense.
So a couple new additions on the offensive side of things that I wanted to ask you about. Mekhi Becton, a lot of people talking about the possibility that he could actually be a starter. He could win his way out there. And Paris Campbell was a guy who kind of shined for me. I wasn't expecting the burst from Paris Campbell. I didn't expect him to be as big as he looked. I thought both of those guys sort of stuck out to me. Are they both players that you feel as though could contribute this season on the Eagles squad?
I'm a yes on Becton. You know, I think that was a smart signing. I think he's got a lot at stake. This is a former first-round pick who, you know, he's in on a one-year deal. And if he plays well, if he starts, or if he comes in as a backup and plays well, he's going to get a nice contract next offseason. If he doesn't, you know, around the league, they're going to look at this and say he couldn't do it in Philadelphia with Jeff Stoutland and with that team. Well, we're not really going to take a flyer on him. So I'm interested to see. He's playing at a bunch of different spots. He's a monster of a man, and he looks like he's got the right attitude, and he understands what's at stake here. So that's one to watch. I'm not as bullish on Paris Campbell. You know, Paris Campbell has been – he's just been in the NFL since, 2019, and he's had one season where he's had more than 200 yards. So, hopefully it works out for the guy. I'm not – you know, there are these stories in the NFL where it happens, but he's a guy to me where if you're asking me who's going to be the wide receiver three – on the Eagles in week one, I kind of think it's going to be someone who's not on the roster right now. I think they're going to scour the way. It might not be a big name, but maybe it's someone on the waiver wire. Maybe it's a low-level trade where you give a sixth or seventh round pick for someone because I don't know. Now, maybe those guys will impress, and I'm totally wrong about that, but that's my feeling right now.
I'm shocked. I thought Paris Campbell looked a lot more sudden than I expected, and you know, like, that could be a good sign. He could be surprising. On the other side of the football, who are our second and third best cornerbacks, Shiel?
Yeah, I've been, you know, looking at Kelee Ringo since the spring and wondering, is this guy going to really compete for a starting spot? I thought he had a good spring. I thought when he played last year, he started four games. I don't think he was a liability. Last year, if you look at it, he's got the physical tools in terms of size and speed. He's actually younger than Quinyon Mitchell, if you look at kind of how old they are, even though he got drafted a year earlier. So, I think that's obviously going to get sorted out in the weeks ahead. That's the big position battle. But I wouldn't rule Kelee Ringo out for that starting outside spot. And then the slot one is really interesting because I thought it was going to be Cooper DeJean. If you asked me a week ago, I would have said DeJean's going to start there as the nickel. But he has the injury. And so now you're seeing Quinyon Mitchell is getting reps inside, in the slot. You saw that yesterday. You saw Vic Fangio talk about it. So I don't know if they're going to be at a comfort level with Mitchell where they say, yeah, throw him out there in week one. He's good in that role. Or whether it's going to be DeJean or whether it's Avante Maddox. So, I know I didn't fully answer your question. I would probably say Kelee Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell are probably two and three to me right now, but it's just a question of can Mitchell play in the slot.
So what about these other guys that I saw out there yesterday, like Tyler Hall, Isaiah Rogers? I mean, they're out there running with the ones. Are they sort of like placeholders, in your opinion, until the young guys learn enough to be out there?
I think Rogers is an interesting guy. I mean, he's played in the NFL and been a solid corner, and he's still young. So no, I wouldn't say he's a placeholder. I would put him in that competition. I just mentioned Ringo first, but it wouldn't shock me if Rodgers makes some noise here and if he plays well, if he earns some playing time. Hall, I think, is more of a backup slot type option for them where, you know, who knows, based on injuries and what happens in practice, maybe he earns it, but that would be way more of an upset than Isaiah Rodgers.
So Shield, to linebacker and Devin White, we've been playing a lot of audio today of Devin White. We loved what he said. The question is really, can he still play at a high enough level to be impactful? What is your sense of what he brings athletically to the table at this stage of his career?
Yeah, athletically, he's still got it. There's no doubt about it. When you look at the measurables, he was an interesting guy to me in terms of Vic Fangio and the Eagles bringing him in because I don't think his strength in Tampa was kind of his instincts or, you know, high football. Or, you know, it was just the physical tools. That's what you talk about when you talk about Devin White. You know, they had a veteran linebacker in Levante David next to him who could kind of direct him a little bit and get him in the right places. And when he was doing that and not thinking and just playing, that's when he was at his best. So I thought it was a fine flyer to take, you know, at the price that they got him. Now, am I confident that they've solved their linebacker problem? I'm not. You know, we'll see once the game starts. I think that's going to be something every offense is going to come in, and they're going to say, we can pick on the Eagles linebackers. I mean, that's what we saw to a degree last year, and that's what we're going to see this year. And really, that's what you see with a lot of NFL offenses now, is they say, hey, attack the middle of the field. That's where the weakness is. Those linebackers can't keep up with our guys, cause some uncertainty with them, and that's how we're going to win football games against the Eagles. So they're going to be tested early and often, for sure.
Sean, I'll play audio of Vic Fangio from yesterday, and I know you heard this yesterday, but him talking about Bryce Hoff, and I'm curious your interpretation, if this is an old-school coach trying to push a player with some public, you know, stuff, or if we should be kind of concerned that Bryce Hoff just doesn't have enough at this point to warrant $51 million player. Here's Vic Fangio and what he said yesterday about Huff.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs. But he's taken the challenge on very well. And I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it. And so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No. But I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it. I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
Shea, what do you make of that?
I think he's just being honest, honestly. I didn't think that was, hey, play some games through the media and motivate a guy. Now, I could be wrong, but yeah. I was standing there, and I thought every question he answered, I loved it. Because the guy is just honest and is a straight shooter, and he doesn't. You see what I.
So I agree with you, Shield. But is that then a concern as it relates to Bryce Hoff at $51 million? I mean, you know, Brandon Graham playing as much as he did yesterday is not ideal. Brandon Graham at this stage should not be the starter. Bryce Hoff should be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they took a leap of faith with Bryce Hoff. I was saying this at the time. Bryce Hoff played 480 snaps last year. Hassan Reddick played 862 snaps. I mean, that's a major, and that was a career high for Bryce Huff. He had never played more snaps than that. He's never done what they are asking him to do. Now, sometimes in free agency, you want to identify those guys and you want to project them and say, well, they're going to be able to do this, and you want to hit more often than you miss. That's what they're doing with Bryce Huff, but there's no proof of concept here, and there's not going to be because you're not going to, you know, you're not going to put the pads on in training camp. You're not going to play him a lot in the preseason, and so you're not going to have a great answer to this until it's week one and we see how he holds up against the Green Bay Packers. That's just the truth of it.
All right, Shield, we look forward to talking football all season with you. We also know you can do the other sports as well. I'm going to give you three rapid-fire questions, other sports, looking for your answers. Number one, Joel Embiid in the Olympics, thumbs up or thumbs down? Do you like that he's playing for Team USA, or do you think it's too much of a risk?
I don't feel that strongly, but I'll give a thumbs down. I mean, I would rather just the guy rest in condition and doesn't need to be doing that, but I don't feel that passionate about it.
All right, question two. While the Phillies could use help at reliever and outfield, if they only make one move, which do you think is more important they make? Add an outfielder that starts or a relief pitcher that's a meaningful relief pitcher?
That's easy for me. That's outfield. I don't want a series where the bats go quiet. I know the relievers have struggled recently. I still believe in them. Let's look at the bigger body of work. Alvarado's going to get it together. Give him 6 or 7 weeks. Love Jeff Hoffman. Strom's going to be good. And you got something in Kirkering. I need a bat over an arm, and I don't have to think twice about that.
I agree with you on that. All right, Shield, third question. It's our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The poll question today, Shield, which of these sports, and this goes for everyone listening, you can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. Which of these sports, Shield, this year are you most looking forward to watching with the Summer Olympics? Is it basketball, gymnastics, swimming, and diving, or track and field?
That's easy for me. That's basketball. I'm still a sucker. I think they play Sunday. I'll be watching them. Yeah, you know, we grew up and the NBA guys early on weren't playing, so now that they're playing, it's fun to watch that many great players together. So that's easy for me.
Shield, nice work, buddy. We'll talk to you a ton in football season. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, right, there Shield. He is from the Ringer. Shield. It was good seeing Shield yesterday. And we talk to Shield more than we see him through the year. You know, like we talked to him over the phone line, but only see him a couple times a year.
I saw him yesterday.
Well, that's my point. So did I. But I mean,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, wait, you kind of like, you,
what do you,
you
want? What
you
do you
ditched want to... us right after the show ended. You were out of there.
No, I wasn't out of there.
You were?
I was down a whole different area talking to people.
Oh.
I was there the whole time.
That's how
I
saw
thought you just peaced out.
No.
Okay.
Katie, don't be spreading rumors.
I'm sorry.
No. You know, the funny thing is, because of where I stood, uh-huh, I didn't know if you two stayed.
Yeah, we were there. We were hanging out.
But you know what I didn't do, Devin?
What?
I didn't go live on WIP. People like, you weren't there. You know, I would have had the common courtesy to ask off the air if we're diming out a co-host.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I just have to give it back to you.
I get it. Hey, listen. It's the way of the show. It's all good. All right, let's go to Joe. He's calling from New Jersey as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Team WIP?
What's up, Joe?
You know, Joe, I'm your biggest supporter. I'm Beat the Hammer. When you were down in the dumps, I called you. I said, Jimmy, go out there, get some tomato cans. But I have to tell you, the tomato cans, we have too many of them now. Jimmy, go out there and get somebody who can get two correct answers.
I know, man.
It is getting insane.
Oh my God.
It's been bad for about 3 months.
What's the average score? Can someone go figure that out?
I don't remember a caller getting more than two since he lost.
No, I had a 4-3 win not that long ago.
Was there maybe one? Okay, yeah. But it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
You know, when I said tomato cans, Jimmy, every now and then you got to throw in somebody who's good.
He doesn't throw in tomato cans or good. It's whoever's the fifth caller or sixth caller. Joe, I will say this. I think today's questions, I don't know that guy was a tomato can. I thought today's questions were, I'll call it, trickier than most weeks. I mean, when he asked the question about the pass rush, I thought of the players from last year. Obviously, Bryce Hoff's on this team. I misheard the question. When he asked the question about how many people played in the Super Bowl team, not only did I mishear it, even if I had heard it correct, to actually rifle through the position groups to identify how many players were in 2017 and this year, I mean, that's going to take at least 15 seconds.
You should just know it, is the point.
No,
we talked last year, six
not.
Guys left, two left. Like, it's not that hard.
It's not that easy, James. That's not that.
I didn't find that easy at all.
No, that's.
I don't think my brain works.
Devin,
like that
you would have
at all.
Known if four off the top of your head. Like, yeah. I don't think that's a major thing.
I wouldn't have.
I answered two because I forgot about Lovato.
Everybody forgets about Lovato.
Lovato was one of them.
But I feel like there's very few.
Well, so of course. So what is it? Lovato, Lane. Who are the other two? Brandon Graham.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, James, I think you're overrating how many people know that off the top of their head. Honestly.
Well, for what it's worth, I asked it as the last question, so you have time to think about it. But, I mean, you should know it. I mean, if you're an Eagles guy, you should know it. I mean,
I agree with you.
The Super Bowl 52 roster, no big deal. The only roster everyone is Super Bowl.
No big deal having to figure out 53 players from that year and 53
just
players
remember
from
remember it was
year.
On the Super Bowl team. Shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
You know?
Hey, Joe, your calls are always entertaining, Joe. Give me, other than Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice, the biggest Olympic moment or storyline of all time. I cannot believe some of the answers that haven't yet been said. What do you got, Joe?
Joe, I got a great one. I just want to make one quick comment.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a statement. A player not named Devin White, a linebacker, will emerge this year that's going to surprise people. I'm not sure who it is, Devin White, we know what he is. His PFF scores have not been great. We know his body of work. He's very athletic. He'll do well. But the other players, I'm going to give you a great
Ben
one.
Van Summeren.
Yes.
They got him getting in there some.
Yeah, we'll
they seem
say.
Like they like him a little bit.
We'll say.
You're right. He's a great athlete. Look up his numbers. Look what he runs the 40-yard dash. I think this guy could be better than Devin White. I mean, nobody wants.
Well, they like him.
I hope not, honestly.
I'm telling you, he's out there a little bit, and it feels like the kind of thing that if he plays well, that could grow. Yeah.
All right, Joe, give me an answer from the Olympics. What's your spot?
I got a great one for you. Rulon Gardner.
Oh, that was great. He beat big Russian guy, right?
Yep, he won the gold medal against Alexander Karolin, who was undefeated for
That's
15
right.
years.
And that guy was
15 years undefeated.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And there was like 1,000 pounds of mass.
He was like a giant grizzly bear. Like a giant bald grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Who there's no way anyone could ever hope to beat him.
Rulon Gardner's a good answer.
It's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Because he was just this happy-go-lucky Midwestern guy, like kind of roly-poly. You got Carolee or whatever his name is, like just truly like Ivan Drago.
Sure. And it's against the Russians.
Yeah.
And anytime it's a descendant of the Soviets, I mean, score one for the
it
Americans.
It really was
that.
Like Ivan Drago.
No, I like that. Never mind the fact. So are we going to have to change the way we talk now that the Flyers' best player supposedly is Russian? another way. He is not supposedly Russian. He's Russian.
He's Russian.
Question is whether he's actually their best player.
Yeah.
I mean, would Ed Snyder they not be happy that they've embraced the old Soviet Union?
Look, thank God they finally got a Russian. That's the way I look at it.
All right, so Jerry Jones. Let's play some audio, Jerry Jones. Now, maybe he's on the right track. Maybe. We're more likely he's just a bozo here. But, you know, it's been obviously discussed a lot on our show and around America that their three best players all do not have long-term contract extensions. I'm talking about their quarterback, Dak Prescott, their star receiver, CeeDee Lamb, and their superstar defensive player, Michael Parsons. I mean, those are three great players. Parsons is really great. And no long-term contract extension, very unusual. Jerry Jones talked yesterday. Now, bear with this. This goes on for about a minute. But it's very interesting. He gives an analogy to explain why those players don't yet have contract extensions. And Jerry Jones thinks he's got a good strategy here. You be the judge. Listen to the analogy. Here's Jerry Jones yesterday.
We are so involved in trying to see where we are with our situations that is a major part of seeing the leaves fall. Seeing the time go by, seeing this day and this week, how they go by. And by the way, fault, I have in my life played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And I, if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you? A little bit? Okay. It do. It really do. So having said that, I'm just trying to give you a description here. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting for something to happen in the morning.
All right.
No, what you're
What
you're doing is you've completely fouled this up. You have mucked this up. Basically, what you've done is you've waited for this disaster to fall in your lap instead of addressing things the way Howie Roseman and company do beforehand, proactively.
But I will say,
you're waiting,
John,
for it to solve itself.
Proactive,
man.
Well, one thing in his defense. All right, because a lot of people are going to think it's crazy talk, and maybe it is. And by the way, wrong. Mahomes isn't the right example.
They've made their own bed.
Should have said Jamel Holloway or someone from college football in the 1970s. But whatever. Okay, for the option. But okay,
said like
here's how I interpret
Tommy Frazier.
Tommy Frazier, right, exactly. Here's how I interpret it. He doesn't actually believe in Dak Prescott enough to think that Dak Prescott should definitely be his quarterback for the next 5 years. Maybe Micah Parsons is such a pain in the butt that that's why, even though they've got all this talent, they haven't won more. Now, I don't know the CeeDee Lamb thing. I'm not sure there. But I do know this. Parsons does seem like a pain in the butt. Dak Prescott has failed them many times in big spots. Maybe Jerry Jones's thing is,
just don't pay any of them and then reset.
The
Dak thing might make sense, but the CeeDee and Micah thing are just costing you money. I mean, they are elite players at their position. Exactly. The longer you wait,
unless you start over,
they might. If you want to like tank, maybe okay. But do you think that's what?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There was some public, you know, stuff. Or if we should be kind of concerned that Bryce Hoff just doesn't have enough at this point to warrant $51 million player. Here's Vic Fangio and what he said yesterday about Huff.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs. But he's taken the challenge on very well. And I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it. And so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No. But I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it. I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
Shea, what do you make of that?
I think he's just being honest, honestly. I didn't think that was, hey, play some games through the media and motivate a guy. Now, I could be wrong, but yeah. I was standing there, and I thought every question he answered, I loved it. Because the guy is just honest and is a straight shooter, and he doesn't. You see what I.
So I agree with you, Shield. But is that then a concern as it relates to Bryce Hoff at $51 million? I mean, you know, Brandon Graham playing as much as he did yesterday is not ideal. Brandon Graham at this stage should not be the starter. Bryce Hoff should be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they took a leap of faith with Bryce Hoff. I was saying this at the time. Bryce Hoff played 480 snaps last year. Hassan Reddick played 862 snaps. I mean, that's a major, and that was a career high for Bryce Huff. He had never played more snaps than that. He's never done what they are asking him to do. Now, sometimes in free agency, you want to identify those guys and you want to project them and say, well, they're going to be able to do this, and you want to hit more often than you miss. That's what they're doing with Bryce Huff, but there's no proof of concept here, and there's not going to be because you're not going to put the pads on in training camp. You're not going to play him a lot in the preseason, and so you're not going to have a great answer to this until it's week one and we see how he holds up against the Green Bay Packers. That's just the truth of it.
All right, Shea, we look forward to talking football all season with you. We also know you can do the other sports as well. I'm going to give you three rapid-fire questions, other sports, looking for your answers. Number one, Joel Embiid in the Olympics, thumbs up or thumbs down? Do you like that he's playing for Team USA, or do you think it's too much of a risk?
I don't feel that strongly, but I'll give a thumbs down. I mean, I would rather just the guy rest in condition and doesn't need to be doing that, but I don't feel that passionate about it.
All right, question two. While the Phillies could use help at reliever and outfield, if they only make one move, which do you think is more important they make? Add an outfielder that starts or a relief pitcher that's a meaningful relief pitcher?
That's easy for me. That's outfield. I don't want a series where the bats go quiet. I know the relievers have struggled recently. I still believe in them. Let's look at the bigger body of work. Alvarado's going to get it together. Give him 6 or 7 weeks. Love Jeff Hoffman. Strom's going to be good. And you got something in Kirkering. I need a bat over an arm, and I don't have to think twice about
that. I agree with you on that. All right, Shield, third question. It's our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's Chevrolet's quality-certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The poll question today, Shield, which of these sports, and this goes for everyone listening, you can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. Which of these sports, Shield, this year are you most looking forward to watching with the Summer Olympics? Is it basketball, gymnastics, swimming, and diving, or track and field?
That's easy for me. That's basketball. I'm still a sucker. I think they play Sunday. I'll be watching them. Yeah, you know, we grew up and the NBA guys early on weren't playing, so now that they're playing, it's fun to watch that many great players together. So that's easy for me.
Shield, nice work, buddy. We'll talk to you a ton in football season. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, right, there Shield. He is from the Ringer. Shield. It was good seeing Shield yesterday. And we talk to Shield more than we see him through the year. You know, like we talked to him over the phone line, but only see him a couple times a year.
I saw him yesterday.
Well, that's my point. So did I. But I mean,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, wait, you kind of like you.
What do you want?
You ditched us right after the show ended. You were out of there.
No, I wasn't out of there.
You were.
I was down a whole different area talking to people.
Oh.
I was there the whole time.
That's how
I
saw
thought you just peaced out.
No.
Okay.
Katie, don't be spreading rumors.
I'm sorry.
No. You know the funny thing is, because of where I stood, I didn't know if you two stayed.
Yeah, we were there. We were hanging out.
But you know what I didn't do, Devin?
What?
I didn't go live on WIP. People were like, you weren't there. You know, I would have had the common courtesy to ask off the air if we're diming out a co-host.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I just have to give it back to you.
I get it. Hey, listen. Yeah. It's the way of the show. It's all good. All right, let's go to Joe. He's calling from New Jersey as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Team WIP?
What's up, Joe?
You know, Joe, I'm your biggest supporter on Beat the Hammer. When you were down in the dumps, I called you. I said, Jimmy, go out there, get some tomato cans. But I have to tell you, the tomato cans, we have too many of them now. Jimmy, go out there and get somebody who can get two correct answers.
I know, man, I know.
It is getting insane.
Oh, my God.
It's been bad for about 3 months.
What's the average score? Can someone go figure that out?
I don't remember a caller getting more than two since he lost.
No, I had a 4-3 win not that long ago.
Was there maybe one? Okay, but it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
You know, when I said tomato cans, Jimmy, every now and then you got to throw in somebody who's good.
He doesn't throw in tomato cans or good.
It's whoever's the fifth caller or sixth caller. I will say this. I think today's questions, I don't know that guy was a tomato can. I thought today's questions were, I'll call it trickier than most weeks. I mean, when he asked the question about the pass rush, I thought of the players from last year. Obviously, Bryce Huff's on this team. I misheard the question. When he asked the question about how many people played it in the Super Bowl team, not only did I mishear it, even if I had heard it correct, to actually rifle through the position groups to identify how many players were in 2017 and this year, I mean, that's going to take at least 15 seconds.
You should just know it, is the point.
No,
the top last year, six
not.
Guys left, two left. Like, it's not that hard.
It's not that easy, James. That's not that.
I didn't find that easy at all.
No, that's.
I don't think my brain works.
Devin,
like that
you would have
at
known
all.
It's four off the top of your head. Like, yeah. I don't think that's a major thing.
I wouldn't have.
I answered two because I forgot about Lovato.
Everybody forgets about Lovato.
Lovato was one of them.
But I feel like there's very few.
Well, of course.
Pretty...
So what is it? Lovato, Lane. Who are the other two? Brandon Graham.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, James, I think you're overrating how many people know that off the top of their head. Honestly.
Well, for what it's worth, I asked it as the last question, so you have time to think about it. But, I mean, you should know it. I mean, if you're an Eagles guy, you should know it. I mean,
I agree with you.
The Super Bowl 52 roster, no big deal. The only roster ever won a Super Bowl.
No big deal having to figure out 53 players from that year and 53 players from this
year. Just remember it was
year.
On the Super Bowl team. Shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
You know?
Hey, Joe, your calls are always entertaining, Joe. Give me, other than Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice, the biggest Olympic moment or storyline of all time. I cannot believe some of the answers that haven't yet been said. What do you got, Joe?
Joe, I got a great one. I just want to make one quick comment.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a statement. A player not named Devin White, a linebacker, will emerge this year that's going to surprise people. I'm not sure who it is. Devin White, we know what he is. His PFF scores have not been great. We know his body of work. He's very athletic. He'll do well. But the other players, I'm going to give you a great
Ben
one.
Van Summeren.
Yes.
They got him getting in there, son.
They seem like they like him a little bit.
You're right. He's a great athlete. Look up his numbers. Look what he runs the 40-yard dash. I think this guy could be better than Devin White. I mean, nobody wants...
I hope not, honestly. I'm telling you,
he's out there a little bit, and it feels like the kind of thing that if he plays well, that could grow. Yeah.
All right, Joe, give me an answer from the Olympics. What's your spot?
Joe, I got a great one for you. Reuben Gardner.
That was great. He beat big Russian guy, right?
Yep, he won the gold medal against Alexander Karolin, who was undefeated for 15 years.
And that guy was
15 years undefeated.
I remember that. Yeah. And there was like 1,000 pounds of mass.
He was like a giant bald grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Who there's no way anyone could ever hope to beat him.
Reuben Gardner's a good answer.
It's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Because he was just this happy-go-lucky Midwestern guy, like kind of roly-poly. You got Caroly or whatever his name is, like just truly like Ivan Drago.
Sure. And it's against the Russians.
Yeah.
And anytime it's a descendant of the Soviets, I mean, score one for the Americans.
It really was like Ivan Drago.
No, I like that. Never mind the fact. So are we going to have to change the way we talk now that the Flyers' best player supposedly is Russian? Or, put it another way, he is not supposedly Russian. He's Russian.
He's Russian.
Whether he's actually their best player.
Yeah.
I mean, would Ed Snyder they not be happy that they've embraced the old Soviet Union?
Look, thank God they finally got a Russian. That's the way I look at it.
All right, so Jerry Jones. Let's play some audio, Jerry Jones. Now, maybe he's on the right track. Maybe. We're more likely he's just a bozo here. But, you know, it's been obviously discussed a lot on our show and around America that their three best players all do not have long-term contract extensions. I'm talking about their quarterback, Dak Prescott, their star receiver, CeeDee Lamb, and their superstar defensive player, Michael Parsons. I mean, those are three great players. Parsons is really great. And no long-term contract extension, very unusual. Jerry Jones talked yesterday. Now, bear with us. This goes on for about a minute. But it's very interesting. He gives an analogy to explain why those players don't yet have contract extensions. And Jerry Jones thinks he's got a good strategy here. You be the judge. Listen to the analogy. Here's Jerry Jones yesterday.
We are so involved in trying to see where we are with our situations that is a major part of seeing the leaves fall. Seeing the time go by, seeing this day and this week, how they go by. And by the way, fault, I have in my life played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterback, and then we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you? A little bit? Okay. It do. It really do. So having said that, I'm just trying to give you a description here. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting for something to happen in the morning.
All right.
No, what you're
There's
doing
a lot
is
there.
What you're doing is you've completely fouled this up. You have mucked this up. Basically, what you've done is you've waited for this disaster to fall in your lap instead of addressing things the way Howie Roseman and company do beforehand, proactively.
But I will say,
you're saying you're waiting, John, for it to solve itself.
Be proactive.
Well,
man. One thing in his defense. All right, because a lot of people are going to think it's crazy talk, and maybe it is. And by the way, wrong. Mahomes isn't the right example.
They've made their own bed.
Should have said Jamel Holloway or someone from college football in the 1970s. But whatever. Okay, for the option. But okay.
Said like here's
how I interpret it.
Tommy Frazier.
Right. Exactly. Here's how I interpret it. He doesn't actually believe in Dak Prescott enough to think that Dak Prescott should definitely be his quarterback for the next 5 years. Maybe Micah Parsons is such a pain in the butt that that's why, even though they've got all this talent, they haven't won more. Now, I don't know the CeeDee Lamb thing. I'm not sure there, but I do know this. Parsons does seem like a pain in the butt. Dak Prescott has failed them many times in big spots. Maybe Jerry Jones' thing is
just don't pay any of them and then reset.
The
Dak thing might make sense, but the CeeDee and Micah thing are just costing you money. I mean, they are elite players at their position. Exactly. The longer you wait, if you want to like tank, maybe okay. But do you think that's what Jerry Jones wants? Like, I don't.
The point is, you had to wait until after Justin Jefferson got his contract. We signed A.J. Brown before Justin Jefferson got his contract. So he came in underneath Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson, when he signed for $35 million a year, that's when CeeDee Lamb's market was set. That's when it's a no-brainer. You have to go get that deal done or else he's upset. And he holds out, and he does exactly what he's doing. He is holding out because you did not do the obvious.
So, John,
the only thing to do is pay him the going rate.
But here's what – I hear you, but here's what I'm saying. As an Eagles fan, I interpret this like Jerry Jones, after this year, might be looking to turn the page. Whether he should or shouldn't, it strikes me like he's thinking about it. I'm just telling you, that's what I hear.
All right, well, sitting around thinking about things and not doing anything means that CeeDee Lamb, when you pay him, instead of paying $30 million a year, you might have to pay him $40 million a year now. Micah Parsons, if you could have gotten him for $38, maybe you're paying him $45 a year now. Like, you are wasting time if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. I just think it's crazy.
Yeah,
it is total crazy.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.